All right, Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. Kind of a crappy day outside. Anyway, good to be with you. And continuing what we ended with yesterday, because a lot of people seem to like it. Just imagine, if you will, that we have a time machine, the WBEN time machine, and you can go back to one or two places or events in history and see them happen and video them so you can bring it back and show us what really happened. What would you do? Where would you go? What would be your choices? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm glad, by the way, there's some other guy out there listening in Canada who actually can say Ethelred and Canute and Heart the Canute and know what he's talking about. Like, it warmed my heart. It really did. Here's Emily on WBEN. Emily, you are on. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Well, thank you for doing your show. It's a lot of fun to listen to.
Well, I don't do it for free. No need to thank me.
Well, that's okay. You do a great job. Thank you.
Well, you're kind.
Okay, two things I would like to actually see what really happened is escape from Alcatraz.
Oh, excellent.
And Amelia Earhart's landing.
Oh, wow. Two of my favorites. Okay, first of all, escape from Alcatraz. Question number one, do you think they made it?
I don't know. I think they may have made it, but I don't know, with the shark-infested waters, but the flower, and I don't know. That's why I like to see it.
supposedly, somebody sent the FBI a letter years after, I think it was the FBI, years after the alleged escape, saying, ha-ha, I fooled you, but I don't know that they've ever done a handwriting analysis of that letter, or whether they did touch DNA analysis of that letter and compared it with known relatives of the guy who supposedly sent the letter. And as far as the, you know, getting from Alcatraz to the mainland, the biggest concern isn't so much the sharks, it's hypothermia.
Yes.
I mean,
but
it's
if they
freezing.
Were wrapped in the rubber, that really would have protected them and kept the heat in. You know, think about when you wear a raincoat, and it keeps the body heat in. So, who knows?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if they did or if they did not escape. The consensus, and whether this is government propaganda, FBI propaganda, California law enforcement propaganda, I don't know. But the consensus seems to be there's no way those guys made it. Of course, that begs the question, well, where are the bodies? But hey, how many bodies from the Titanic went unfound? Here's an answer. Most of them.
Yes, yes. And what about burying at sea? You know, bodies are gone.
Well, and Lake Superior is so cold that if you go down to the bottom, you are not going to be popping up anytime real soon because it's just not conducive to developing bacteria, which cause the body to become buoyant. That's really interesting. What really happened? Was there really an escape from Alcatraz? I love that. And what was the other one?
Amelia Earhart's landing. Where did she really land? What happened? Because, you know, I've watched both stories on Discovery, and they don't really tell you. I mean, they give you an idea of what may have happened, but they don't tell you this definitely happened. So I think that would be extremely interesting to me.
Well, I mean, over the years, if you've done your reading on this, and I'm sure you have if you have an interest in it, there have been various reports of wreckage of the plane of Amelia Earhart that has been found in remote Pacific islands. There were supposedly bones that were found on Nicomoraro or whatever it's called back in 1940, but we didn't have DNA testing back then. So.
Right.
And there's some doubt as to whether the pathologist who examined the bones actually got it right. So,
correct.
I mean, Another theory that I'm sure you have some familiarity with is that the Japanese, who were in the process of building their greater Pacific co-prosperity sphere, that they thought she was a spy and took her into captivity and executed her.
Exactly. That's the whole thing I saw, and it's just very unclear. You know, and when you think about it, the triangle, what is that?
Bermuda Triangle?
Oh, yeah. What happened to the boats that went in there that never came out?
They sank. Because if you take an area as big as the Bermuda Triangle, naturally you're going to have a bunch of shipwrecks and a bunch of plane crashes. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything to the idea that the Bermuda Triangle possesses some mysterious, mystical quantity that sucks ships and planes down into it. I think that's
they're saying gravity. Gravity has done it, and
I mean, that's one hell of a large gravitational field. It should be very easy to prove one way or the other.
Well, maybe with the technology that comes out, maybe eventually we'll find out, right?
Well, you know, you mentioned the Bermuda Triangle, and mm-hmm. I think my favorite case from the Bermuda Triangle is Flight 19, the training flight that went missing.
Yes.
And the most logical explanation is that the flight leader got lost. Probably spatial disorientation was involved, like what happened with JFK Jr., and they forgot to trust their instruments, and they went by their bodies, and that's going to kill you every single time.
Mm-hmm.
I like this show, Tom. I really do.
I think it's interesting. It's brought up a lot of... I mean, there's so many things I could comment on, but I know you have other callers, but
yeah, but give me one more because
that show.
Well, I'm rather fond of it too, considering it just kind of came from my nether regions late yesterday. But since your call is so good, what one other event of history would you like to be in the time machine to capture?
Well, I'm with you guys on Gettysburg. Because we went to Gettysburg several times, walked the area. I'll tell you, it is pretty eerie, to say the least. And during the mornings at like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, before the sun would come up, you would hear drummers in the distance. If you walk around, it's kind of spooky, to be honest with you. That one, and then the other one which you mentioned yesterday was the birthplace of Christ or where he walked. I just think that would be just so awesome.
Well, yeah, that would be interesting, but having a video of the resurrection, that would be awesome. Yeah. If the resurrection happened and you could videotape it, that would be awesome. I thank you very much for the call.
Hey, Tom.
Yes?
One last thing.
Yes.
The resurrection is spiritual, so we all have it if we think about it.
If that's your belief, that's your belief. I can't talk you out of that. I wouldn't want to.
Okay. You have a wonderful day, and thank you again for the wonderful show.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, in matters of faith, you can believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I believe. But a video of the resurrection, if it happened, that would be the ultimate video. Okay, I'd take that even over Dealey Plaza video from November 22nd, 60 years ago tomorrow. David and I will be talking about that. I'm going to be on David's show from 10 to noon, and then he's going to be on my show from 4 to 6 tomorrow on the 60th anniversary of the murder of President Kennedy, or as I prefer to call it, the coup d'etat in America. Let's go to Debbie in Niagara Falls. Debbie, you are on WBEN. Hello.
I second that. What a great show. Thank you so much for doing it. It's wonderful.
Oh, glad you're enjoying it.
Actually, the third thing, I'm 71, so I actually witnessed, when Kennedy came to Niagara Falls, took the tour, they let us out of school early. We all lined up on Buffalo Avenue as he was a handsome character. I'll never forget that. But anyhow, my two and three things are, since you stole my thunder with the resurrection, the events leading up to Benedict Arnold's betrayal of our country, that was thank God, foiled. If you ever read the events leading up to that and the actual event that happened when he actually was planning to sell out our country, West Point, for cash to the British, I only know that because my son went there and I read up on it, and it's absolutely fascinating, that whole West Point Museum. So that, the betrayal of our country, and I really think that changed the course of our country at that time. So Benedict Arnold's treason, and then the ascension of Christ, where after he was resurrected, but the disciples met him, I don't know, somewhere in Israel, and he flew up in the air. And then I decided, since you said that, a third thing, the unloading of Noah's Ark with all those animals and the people.
Yeah, I mentioned Noah's Ark. I mentioned Noah's Ark yesterday. I mean, the problem with one of the problems, I think, with the Noah's Ark
of it. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, the Noah's Ark story, the great flood story in general, like so many civilizations have stories about a great flood. Whether it's the Epic of Gilgamesh, some of the Chinese stories. I mean, that's one hell of a flood that had to happen. I don't know if that was a metaphor. I don't know if it's supposed to be reality. And one of the problems with trying to find Noah's Ark is it doesn't say Mount Ararat. It says in the mountains of Ararat. Well, that could be a huge area.
Okay, well, yeah. But, I mean, since we're just thinking of videos, I'm thinking the unloading of it. This is after the flood when all those animals and people raced out of there. I think that would be funny, interesting, and something I'd like to see.
Yeah, I wonder if the cats went after the birds.
Right,
that would
really.
That would have been a long trip for nothing. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And I'm also with you on the Gettysburg thing. Yeah,
I'd like to see the 35,000 foot or 20,000 foot view of Gettysburg to see what actually happened. But then I'd also like to be on ground level to figure out what Robert E. Lee was thinking. And something else that not a lot of historians talk about, but it has to be mentioned. Robert E. Lee at the Battle of Gettysburg was suffering from a very severe case of long-term diarrhea, and that would have been very dehydrating. And to what extent did Robert E. Lee's mentality at Gettysburg, to what extent was it influenced by the fact that he was dehydrated and his body was probably stiffening up, his muscles were probably contracting, he was probably not in the best shape to make a logical decision. And this is these were the days before Imodium and Cipro.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a lot of us are history buffs. I think that'd be fascinating, too. I've only been there twice, plan to go back again, but I agree. And with the drums in the distance, I've never heard that, but I'll have to listen to it. So put me for a third vote for Gettysburg, and I'll hang up and see what everybody else has to say.
All right,
thanks, Tom.
Thank you very much. If we put you in a time machine, what would you like to go back and witness and come back and show us on video? The personalities of Gettysburg. I would love, for example, and there are some written accounts of this, most notably by a guy named Haskell, but the so-called Council of War in that little house by the Confederate high water mark, it's a tiny little house, and how they got all those big shots of the Union Army in there is beyond me. And that was the day before, was it the day before, 2 days before bombardment of the Confederates at 1 p.m. on July the 3rd of 1863 with blisteringly hot temperatures. And that's, again, that's another thing. From a human angle, I would love to see the video of how thirsty those guys were. As I said yesterday, it's not like they had Aquafina machines at Gettysburg. And if you've ever been there, not a lot of places you're going to find water. And if it's a creek, a lot of those creeks were just absolutely bloodless. I mean, they're just heavy with blood. Let's go, which does not make good drinking, by the way, unless you are Dracula. Lee in Lancaster, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Great.
All right. My wish would be to see what we call the United States looked like before it was settled, before Columbus got here, before the Pilgrims got here. I'm a tree lover. I'm a nature lover. I would just like to witness what I always call that time, that the actual paradise, really, for people like me that love trees, love the nature and the various animals, that a lot of them have disappeared since this country's been settled.
What part of the United States would you like to see? Obviously, the United States is a very large country and a lot of different climates in the United States. I mean, we've got our woodland area here around the Great Lakes. Obviously, Grand Canyon, totally different topography, the desert southwest. Where would you like to focus?
I would like to start at the Atlantic Ocean in the northeast. And there's a saying that if a squirrel wanted to travel from the Atlantic Ocean to the Plain States, he wouldn't have to touch ground because of the proliferation of the trees that we had in this country. So I would like to have seen and recorded what that looked like. Can you just imagine some of the gigantic trees we even had in Western New York?
I guess I can imagine that. It would be interesting to do an A and B comparison of what things looked like then, prior to European settlement, and what things look like now after European settlement. I would definitely be, I'm all on board with that. I'd watch that video.
And what animal
do we not have anymore that you wish that you had on video to show us all?
Oh, how about the passenger pigeons that they exterminated with their beautiful plumage, and they were hunted for the delicacy of their meat. A lot of the fish life that was in our freshwater rivers and lakes. That type of thing, I just love to see that. I would have loved to seen. Supposedly, we had a subspecies of buffalo in Western New York. I don't know if that's true or not, but I would have loved to have seen if they were here.
I don't know how long ago that would have been. When you say buffalo, I presume you mean a subspecies of an American bison.
Correct. I'm sorry. Yes, that's correct.
I know. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just trying to sort everything out. It would be cool, but I mean, remember in the prehistoric era, you see the fossils that we've got here in Western New York, gives you a pretty good idea of millions and millions of years ago what was living around here. A bunch of trilobites and snails.
Oh, that's true.
A bunch of mollusks. Now we've got zebra mussels. I'm not sure how much progress we've made. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Go ahead.
Please, by all means.
The second thing I would have liked to have videotaped is the actual building of the pyramids. I'm fascinated by them, and the type of how did they do it, and how could they be so accurate with their construction?
I want to continue this on the other side of news, because was it people or was it aliens? All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. So the premise of the show, kind of continuing what we did at the end of yesterday's show, but you guys seem to like it, so I decided to resurrect it. Yeah, speaking of the resurrection, it's a resurrection of a topic. Let's just presume that I could give you a time machine, and I could say, all right, you can go to one or two events or places in history, but you got to bring your cell phone. You got to bring a video cam, because we've got to see exactly what we missed out on. Where would your choices be? We've got some really cool responses so far to the subject. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Back to Lee in Lancaster, who wanted to see what the United States looked like in the era before industrialization.
Correct.
And the cell phone overlap there. What was number two?
Number two was the building of the pyramids.
Yes. So let's talk about that, shall we?
Sure.
Question one, did humans build the pyramid or did the aliens?
I think it was a combination, to be honest with you. You know, I have doubts on the aliens. I know humans were involved in it, but I think they had outside help.
The thing that the ancient brain was as advanced as the modern brain is, but the technology was not. And I know people have tried to demonstrate this over the years, but the enormous blocks that were used in the construction of, for example, the Great Pyramid outside of Cairo, the biggest of the three by the Sphinx, I have a really hard time envisioning how many people were involved in that. Even with thousands of people, the logistics, the coordination, the transportation, the quarrying of the stone, the transport of the stone. Not like you had 18-wheelers. FedEx wasn't out there delivering blocks to the desert outside Cairo.
And there's another item to that. The accuracy with which they created or made those blocks. I think modern construction can do it now with the aid of lasers, but how did they do that? For many, many years, scientists tried to prove that there were ways to be that accurate, and no one ever did.
I was unaware of that. I've never seen the pyramids up close and personal, and probably never will. My ex-wife certainly has. A video of the building of the pyramids would be cool. I mean, you're not buying the idea that they built a bunch of very gently graded ramps out of sand in the desert and covered them with wood and then transported the blocks up that way?
I don't buy that completely, no. That, like you just mentioned, it would take thousands of people to be coordinated to pull those things up there. I don't buy that. The other theory on that was using water and floating, and I don't know. There's so many theories out there. As I said, I'm sure humans were involved in it, but I think they had outside help.
I don't know, because in some respects, the idea that aliens came down just to build a bunch of pyramids seems kind of silly, but the idea that humans were able to build such enduring, huge, magnificent structures to the degree of precision they did at that time, and that you had the logistics in place to house them, to feed them, to water them, that also seems a little bit ridiculous. I don't think we could build the Great. I don't think we could build the Great Pyramid today. In the time that presumably the Great Pyramid back then was built.
You're probably right on that. Is there any chance I can offer you a suggestion on a future show?
I don't know if it's good. Sure.
Well, there's a fellow that's written several books and produced a movie on the disappearances in the national parks, national forests, state parks, and state forests. And he's of the alien conspiracy group. His name is David Pilatus. And it's just fascinating how many hundreds and hundreds of people have gone missing, and our federal government and state governments keep a very tight lip on it.
Just looking at the most logical explanation, the woods and the wilderness are big places, and people get lost and they die of exposure, and then the bodies are devoured by predators, the bones are scattered by predators, and that's why they're never found.
Yes, that's a possibility, but the other thing is, when they have recovered missing people, very unusual circumstances in places that have been thoroughly searched, showing up with almost no deterioration. There's some strange things going on out there.
Well, it depends on where you disappear. If you disappear in a dry, desert-like climate, I mean, natural mummification can occur. If you disappear in a peat bog, natural mummification can occur. There's a poor guy in the British Museum in London who died well over 1,000 years ago. They was a Toland man. They found him, and he looks pretty much the same today as he did 1,000 years ago.
Yes, and same with the Iceman. They found him in, I think, the Italian Alps.
Oh, yeah.
Well, as I said, I think it would be an interesting show, but you think about it, and you might want to do a little research on David Pilatus. And
as long as I can work in the expression anal probes into the program, I'd certainly consider it.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, but can we just ponder this for a moment? This has come up before during some of the shows we've done. Let me just get this straight, okay? These sentient beings from other places travel to Earth, and their primary goal is to look into our butts. That doesn't add up to me.
Me neither.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I would be open to doing a show on alien abduction. Haven't done one of those in like 35 years, 40 years. Had a lady from St. Louis on named Sky. Interesting. Ambrose. And she's no longer with us, but also had Whitley Strieber on back when he was the big thing talking about alien abduction. Look, you know what? Truth is, in fact, stranger than fiction. I don't know what the reality is. I've never seen a UFO. I've never seen an alien. I've seen some earthly technology that would knock your socks off involving various ways to achieve stealth or invisibility. But as far as aliens, I don't know. Hey, maybe that's where they got the technology. You never know. That's what Philip Corso maintains in The Day After Roswell, which is one of the events I wish I could get in a time machine and go back to the alien crash allegedly at Roswell, New Mexico, and document it. What was it really? Was it really an alien spacecraft, or was it something else? It was something. It clearly was something, but what it was, we'll probably never be allowed to know unless you're a member of the Majestic 12. Here's Larry in Cheektowaga. You're on WBEN. Larry, hello.
Hello. Great show. Where I would like to go is back to the old days in Rome and see the gladiators in the Colosseum.
Every time I see that in a film.
And that I have copies of some of the films. I always look at I love to see the gladiators when they're fighting. It's so really neat. It's unbelievable.
Little violent for me. I'm sure you've seen Russell Crowe in Gladiator.
Oh yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, and I've liked all of it. All of that stuff. That's really good. That I like. And of course, I'd like to know if there were aliens over here back in the 1920s and 10s and 1900s and that. Did anybody land from outer space down here on Earth? That's what I would like to know.
Wait, run that by you said Indians or aliens?
Aliens.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
To land and from space, but in the 1900s, 1910s, 1920s. You know, early 1890s and that. And I wonder, did they land down here?
Well, actually, it's an interesting question, because in medieval art, there are many, and ancient art, there are many depictions of what now look an awful lot like what we would call UFOs and aliens, including humanoid figures in spacesuits, and why an ancient civilization would want to paint a human being in what looks like a spacesuit is beyond me. And some of the newspaper accounts from the 1880s and 1890s do talk about unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yeah. I got one question for you.
Go ahead.
Up at night and think of these subjects, because you got great subjects on your radio station and your program. Unbelievable. Some of them. They're so good.
Actually, most of these subjects I think of, I usually think of after a glass or two of tequila.
Oh, but they're good, though, really. They're so good. It's unbelievable.
Well, I appreciate
that. Wandering once you start with it, you know.
Well, very good.
Okay, thank you very much, Tom, and have a good rest of the day. Take care of yourself, and I hope to call you again.
Thank you kindly. I appreciate that. No, you know, this topic, look, I wish I could say that I was some great genius of talk radio topics, but I'm really not. They just come to me. And a lot of times what happens is, if you know me, there are three different me's. There's me before I do a show, and I am extremely tense. And I could be doing this for the next 50 years, and I'm tense. I don't feel like talking. I don't feel like socializing. I'm totally enmeshed in what I'm doing. Then there's me on the air performing. Then there's me after the show, where usually I'm pretty beat, but usually pretty satisfied. usually pretty satisfied. And sometimes when I'm on the air, that particular facet of the personality, the creative part of it, it comes out, and I'll come up with these topics that I never thought I would do, but you guys seem to like them. So I think to myself, all right, you know what? If that's what these guys want, I'm going to give them what they want. Now, tomorrow is going to be, I think, really interesting. I'm going to be joining David from 10 to noon on his show. He's going to be joining me 4 to 6 on my show, and we're going to be talking about the Kennedy assassination. I'm not sure what David's theories are on it. I have some very strong opinions on it. I mean, look, maybe Oswald was guilty, but I'll tell you that the people with the Dallas Police Department, there were at least two high-ranking officials within the Dallas Police Department who publicly stated they don't think they could have convicted Oswald with the evidence they had. And the nitrate test on his hands, they did not show that he'd fired a gun, nor did the cheek nitrate tests. And if he fired a rifle, it would have been on his cheek. There's nothing on his cheek, and there's no evidence that he ever washed his face. So, I mean, not ever, but that day washed his face. I mean, there are so many mysteries in that. Like, after the assassination, when he got on a bus, he got on the Marcellus bus. He didn't get on the Oak Cliff bus, which is where he lived. Why did he do that? And he got a bus transfer, which was apparently very valuable to him, because he changed shirts after he ran home. And then he remembered to take the bus transfer from the old shirt to the new shirt he'd put on. And his landlady attested to seeing a Dallas police car outside his rooming house on North Beckley Street honking its horn a few times as if to signal Oswald, we're here. I mean, there's so much that doesn't make sense, not to mention the fact that 2 days before the assassination, a very close relative of a very high-ranking Dallas police official saw Oswald at a party with a bunch of Cubans because they lived right next door. I mean, it's Dallas of 63 was not the Dallas of 2023. It was a kind of a two-bit town in a way. If you guys want me to continue this topic, I will continue the topic. I've got other stuff that I've lined up, but as I've said, this topic just kind of it originated organically, and over the years, one of the things that I've found is that sometimes the topics that I spend the most time prepping for, they bomb terribly. And then the ones where I just kind of pull them out of my nether region, those are the ones you guys really like. So I've given up on you. Well, I'm not giving up on you. But in any event, if we could put you in a time machine, what event would you like to have on video? One or two events. And I love the Amelia Earhart call. That was great because there are so many theories about Amelia Earhart. And you know those bones that I'd mentioned before? Okay, on this remote island in the Pacific, way back when, 1940, they found a bunch of human bones where there weren't any human settlements. And the forensic people back then looked at the bones and said, nah, these are the bones of a man. Problem is, nobody knows what happened to those bones today. So there's no way we can DNA test them to settle whether Amelia Earhart actually was able to touch that plane down on a remote Pacific island, or whether she went into the drink, or whether she was captured by the Japanese and executed as a spy. One of the problems with the Japanese theory is, I think, so long after the war that maybe somebody would have talked. Some Japanese officer who'd survived the war would have said, yeah, you know what, we captured her, we executed her. Look at everything we learned about KGB after the Cold War ended. I mean, it's kind of ironic that American news media were allowed basically unfettered access to KGB files, and CIA files are still under lock and key because they've done some very naughty things around the world. 3:55 at News Radio 930 WBEN, and probably right here at home too. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. If we could build you a time machine, what would you like to go and see? We've had the Battle of Hastings, the Battle of Gettysburg. I personally would like to see what happened in reality between King Harold II and William the Conqueror. Did Harold II really renounce his right to the English crown when he was being held in France, or did he not? I don't know the answer. All we have is the French propaganda, the Norman propaganda on that. And there's actually a theory that there was subversive messages in that propaganda that were put there by English seamstresses, but we'll never know, as opposed to English mistresses or Meghan Markle. 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I can't believe nobody's mentioned Woodstock yet. Shame on all of you.